Israel Oppressed, Chapter 27. Come on, get going, you lazy fellow. Do not stand there moping. Get to work. And a lashing blow followed these angry words. The man who received this blow momentarily cringed from the pain, heaved a deep sigh, and again took up the heavy stone. Stumbling, he carried it further. He was tired, faint, and weary. He could hardly continue, but he had to, because the taskmaster had already raised the thick club, ready to give his slave another blow if he should let the stone down again. With his utmost exertion, the poor mistreated slave carried the heavy load further. Sneeringly, the cruel taskmaster let his fist, which held the club, fall. That must not happen again, he threatened otherwise. With a treacherous smile upon his lips, he went away. Yet he turned suspiciously to see if the slave continued to go forward. Don't you think this taskmaster was a nasty, mean person? Probably you would like to give him a sound thrashing. Such a cruel wretch. Who is this man? This taskmaster is an Egyptian. But who is his slave? He is an Israelite, a descendant of Jacob. How is that? Weren't the Egyptians and Israelites good friends? You know that Joseph had been viceroy of Egypt. He had saved the lives of the Egyptians. Jacob and his sons, upon the command of Pharaoh, had come to live in Egypt during those terrible years of famine. They had received the best and most fertile part of Egypt, the land of Goshen. They had come as friends, but not as slaves. But how did this come about? What has happened? Yes, boys and girls, a great change has taken place since that time. You know that both Jacob and Joseph had died. At the time of Joseph's death, his relatives had lived in Egypt about 70 years. During this time, they had multiplied exceedingly. When they came, they were but 70 in number. But when Joseph died, they numbered in the hundreds. And they continued to increase. Now they numbered in the thousands, yes, tens of thousands. In the Bible we read that the land of Goshen was filled with them. God had promised Abraham that he would become a great and mighty nation. So it was now. Continually more Israelites came because God blessed them. They were satisfied with their portion in Egypt, and they were honored there, and the Egyptians treated them with respect. The Egyptian people were a wise people. Their land was full of beautiful palaces and temples which were built by the Egyptians. They were able to make a sort of paper from the reed or cane which grew on the banks of the River Nile. They could read and write. They were capable horticulturalists who understood the cultivation of the land. Therefore, the Israelites could learn much from them. So it was not strange, as we told you before, that the Israelites were pleased to be in Egypt. But they forgot one thing. They forgot that Egypt was not their native country. God did not say to Abraham, "I will give Egypt to your children." But he said, "I will give Canaan to your children." Thus, Canaan would be their native land, not Egypt. However, at this time, the Israelites had no desire to return to the promised land. But that would change because Pharaoh the king also died, and a new king came in his place. Not a son of the former king, but a complete stranger. He did not know Joseph and probably had never heard of him. Soon after this new pharaoh ascended the throne and became king, he traveled through the land to view his kingdom. When he saw the Israelites in the land of Goshen, he immediately noticed that they were no Egyptians, but a strange people. "Who are they?" he asked his servants. "They are Israelites who have come from the land of Canaan," was their answer. "What are they doing here? How and when did they come here?" the king asked again. Upon this, the servants answered, "They have come here in the time of a great famine." The king mumbled something. He had seen there were so many Israelites that all the land was filled with them. This could become very dangerous. Imagine to yourself if war would come, and if the Israelites would help the enemy, it wouldn't be long before all Egypt would be conquered by them. They were mightier than the Egyptians themselves. Suddenly the king turned to his servants and said, "This is not going to continue any longer. Do you know what we must do? We must make slaves of them. We must be on our guard so that they will not be able to fight against us." Therefore the king appointed capable Egyptian men over the people of Israel. They were taskmasters who must see that the Israelites would build two cities in the land of Goshen. The Egyptians did not ask the Israelites if they would help. No, they were forced to do it. And so it came about that the Israelites became slaves of the Egyptians. They must work very, very hard from early morning until late at night. They even weren't permitted to rest a little, and if they did, they were beaten. That poor Israelite, who was so tired and in need of a little rest, was beaten by the Egyptian taskmaster. Pharaoh, the new king, hoped by so doing that many Israelites would become sick and die. Perhaps their number would diminish, and that was just his purpose, for there were far too many Israelites. But this did not happen, for the Lord took care of that. The more work the Israelites were forced to perform, and the more blows they received, the more they multiplied. The Israelites did not die. They received many children, so that they increased more and more. But do you know what did happen? The Israelites, who at first were so pleased to live in Egypt and were satisfied to remain there, were now willing to leave Egypt if they could. But that they were not allowed to do. They began to long for the land of Canaan. Why didn't they march away, even though they were not permitted? Alas, they did not dare. They were afraid of the wrath of Pharaoh. Do you know what they did? They began to pray to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Every night they would bend their knees and ask the Lord if he would deliver them, if he would help them. They couldn't help themselves. No, the Lord must do it. However, it seemed as though the Lord would not hear them, and as though their prayers were in vain, because instead of things getting better, they continually became worse. When Pharaoh saw that his scheme failed and the Israelites increased, he was grieved because he could not have his way. He commanded that they must do more work. They must not only make brick in the brick kiln, but they must also labor in the fields. They must carry water to irrigate the land because it seldom rained in Egypt. But that too was a complete failure. The king became discouraged and angry. What move must he make now? Then he contrived something else, something devilish. If an infant was born somewhere, a nurse would come to help that child. There were two of those nurses among the Israelites. Their names were Shiphrah and Puah. One day they received a message that they must come to the king. Perhaps they were astonished. What must they do there? They obeyed and went to the palace. The king said to them, "Oh, I hardly dare tell you, it is so terrible." Pharaoh said, "When you help the little boys of Israel, you must secretly kill them." Isn't this exceedingly beastly? Indeed, it is. But those nurses did not do that. Oh no, they would not do that. They would not murder the poor little boys. The nurses feared God. Pharaoh heard this, and he became very angry at those two women. He called those nurses again and asked, "Why don't you do what I command you? I said that you must kill the little boys. Why wasn't this done?" "Yes, that was right. But what must those nurses answer? They did not dare tell this mighty king that they did not want to do it. But those women were crafty, and they answered, 'King, we cannot help it. The Israelitish mothers are so strong that we do not dare kill their small children. We cannot do it because those mothers are always with their little children.'" That was sly of those nurses, don't you think? But God blessed those women because they would not do this great sin, and because they did not want their conscience to accuse them of being murderesses. However, Pharaoh became more angry. He thought, "The Israelites must be diminished because they are getting too mighty. Do you know what? I will have all those little boys murdered. If those women will not do it, then we will do it ourselves." The following day, Pharaoh called all taskmasters to him and commanded them, "Whenever an infant boy is born among the Israelites, then you must cast that child into the river Nile. You must drown it in the river. I command you to do it." And the Egyptian taskmasters did it. Oh, that was terrible. If a darling little boy lay in his crib sleeping peacefully in any house of the Israelites, those Egyptian taskmasters would come and take that child from its bed and cast it into the water. The mothers yelled despairingly. They tried to hold their children to defend them, but they received a kick or a blow so that they had to let their dear child go. Groaning and weeping, they saw their own children drowning in the Nile. The girls were permitted to remain alive. Pharaoh said, "The girls cannot fight. Let them live, and they can be our slaves later." But all the loving, innocent boys were murdered. That was cruel. That was devilish of Pharaoh. This made the Israelites pray more earnestly to God, asking him to deliver them and bring them into the land of Canaan. They could not do this themselves, and they didn't dare either. God must do it. And God did do it. He answered all those prayers. He saw all those tears, And God punished the Egyptians severely for all their cruelty.